I'd appreciate, turn to the book of 2 Timothy. I'd appreciate your prayers as Alyssa and I look to the future and what the Lord would have for us. It's proven to be a long process. Some guys have said that it can take up to 2 years before you can get your chaplain appointment. As far as a chaplain candidate goes, if you already have your seminary degree, it's a little easier to get in. I just appreciate your prayers for that as we look to try and move down to Virginia eventually. There's, as you know, trying to find a job in some place where you're not familiar with and, you know, you don't know the area very well is difficult. You know, I go online and there's all these jobs and, you know, what are the distances between the school and where we'd like to live, you know, so I have to just try and research and what would be good for me to apply to. And, you know, so I just appreciate your prayers for that and that the Lord will open or close doors as He sees fit for Alyssa and I. So it's just, you know, a lot of work is going into that. And, you know, I'm currently taking classes from Virginia Beach Theological Seminary, and Pastor asked me to, if I could speak for him to help alleviate some of the burden from him being gone at the week of prayer. And so I just said, well, it's going to be on something that I've been working on in class. So this is a result of what I've been working through so far this semester. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Very well-known passage of Scripture. I'm just going to read a couple of verses, beginning at verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you and just ask that you would intercede and that you would fill me with your Spirit, that these would be words enlightened by the Holy Spirit to our hearts. Father, help us to come to a fuller and deeper understanding of the sufficiency of Scripture from these very well-known passages. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you a situation. I work on a team of all females, and they have no problem with discussing their problems in life and the things that confront them and their issues that they're having. And, you know, sometimes I just have to just sit there and just face my computer and do my work. And, you know, you allow what's going on. But if I was to tell one of my coworkers, and I've had the opportunity to say certain things about the gospel and to present the gospel, but, you know, one of my coworkers, I would say something, and this, you know, I want to be careful, but this is real, okay? This is real life, right? And these are real examples. But if I was to tell my coworker that the Scriptures are sufficient for her to be saved and that she can glorify God and be with Him forever. The gospel, right? That's the gospel, that Christ came and died. Well, this is a common response, or this is what I hear all day long. This is what you, if you work in a secular workplace, this is what you will hear all day long. That you will hear this and you'll be like, yep, I've heard that. Yeah, I see that. Well, that's great, but my ex-husband needs to pay the thousands that he owes in child support. Are the Scriptures sufficient to solve that? My stepmother needs to stop treating me like an irresponsible child. are your scriptures sufficient to solve that problem? My mother needs to stop bugging me about the way I discipline my children. Are your scriptures sufficient to solve that problem? My lonely heart needs to be filled by someone who is mature, someone who understands me, someone who is responsible, someone who doesn't come home high and sit on my couch in my living room in front of my children. Is your scripture sufficient for that problem? Someone needs to teach me how to stop overdrawing on my checking account every month, causing stress in my life, my family, causing me to have to borrow money from people whom I know that I won't be able to repay. Are your scriptures sufficient for that problem? Someone needs to teach me how to enjoy life other than through my vicarious living, through soap operas and seeking out every juicy details of the dramas of everybody else's life around me. Are your scriptures sufficient to solve that problem? I get what you're saying about serving God and going to heaven and escaping hell, but are your scriptures sufficient to do that? Is it? Yes. They are sufficient to answer your every need. And I want us to be able to take from this message here tonight and go with a hope, because that's what the Bible tells us, that it gives us a hope, a confident expectation that the sufficiency of Scripture, that properly understanding the sufficiency of Scripture allows me not just to apply it in a broad sense, but in specific situations, just as we've been given here. That the gospel applies to their home life. The gospel applies to how they handle their checkbook. The gospel applies to how they discipline their children. The gospel applies to their relationship with their stepmother and their mother. The gospel applies there. And if I, as a Christian seeking to evangelize, or if I, as a Christian seeking to live before them, fail to demonstrate and fail to find ways to teach them how the gospel applies to these situations, I'm failing to demonstrate, I'm failing in the doctrine of the holistic sufficiency of Scripture. There's an obvious war against the sufficiency of Scripture. Ever since Genesis chapter 3, when Satan convinced Adam and Eve that what God had provided for them was not good, or that it was not good enough, there has been a war against what God has delivered to us, both in His general and His specific revelation. There's an obvious application. There's obvious confusion about the application and understanding of the sufficiency of Scripture. Listen to these Christian perspectives and applications. Okay, these are Christian perspectives and applications by professing Christians. Physicians do not expect to find the treatment for a case of tuberculosis contained within the pages of the Holy Scriptures. Geologists do not expect to find there a description of the sand containing oil reserves. Similarly, we would agree with that, right? The first part of that statement. But similarly, this is a Christian perspective. One would hardly expect to find material related to the field of psychology within the Scriptures, except where they directly illustrate or discuss a particular aspect of human behavior. Now, first of all, now this is called Introduction to Psychology and Counseling, A Christian Perspectives and Applications by Paul Meyer, Frank Murnith, and Frank Wichern, who obviously they failed to give a Christian perspective. What is the study of psychology? Ology, the study of something. Psych is the soul. Secular psychologists don't study the soul. They study chemicals and all that kind of stuff that they cannot prove. But this is what is being propagated, this is the propaganda that is out there. This is what is being presented, that the Scripture is insufficient only if it mentions a certain... If it mentions anger, yeah, okay, we can find discussion of the Bible about anger, but, you know, this depression and other things like that, that, you know, that we've discovered, that we have, you know, really developed a better understanding of things. Is the Bible sufficient to answer those questions? Chemical imbalances. Is the Bible sufficient to answer those questions? And to compound that issue, there is amongst, I believe, personally, maybe this is just me, right? Maybe I'm just admitting a struggle that I'm having. There is amongst professing conservative evangelical Christians a difficulty with and a wrestling with taking the Scriptures from this conservative context and stepping out into the secular, problem-solving, secular society and making the sufficiency of Scripture seem relevant to them. Is there anybody else other than just me that struggles with that? It's difficult. It's hard. I mean, especially the illustrations that I gave to you in the beginning, those happen, and I know you all are like, yep, I've heard that, I've seen that. And you're like, more, there's just so many that happens. And I struggle with it. I you know, the other day I said something in response to something else that was said. All I said was, you know, remember, the Bible teaches that a soft answer turns away wrath. And the person responded with something else and you know, basically just like ignoring what I said. But you know, and I felt in myself a sense of frustration. I was frustrated. Can't this person just see that if they responded, you know, in a soft way, like the Bible says you should, that it would just make their problem, just this problem, they're creating more of a problem by the way they're responding to the problem. How come they can't see this? And I'm frustrated. And how do I make this relevant to this person? It's difficult. It's not easy. But I believe as evangelists, as commissioned evangelists, that we need to make it our duty to know how to make it relevant to them so that they can see that, yes, this does apply to me. So, in the beginning of this message, if you're someone who writes things down, then you can write this down, but if you could make this mental note in your mind, and I really want all of us to take this practical step of application tonight, and I'm going to bring this up now, and then I'm going to bring it up again at the end of the message. That sometime throughout this week, or you know, maybe tonight, to write down on a piece of paper, and I wrote it down on the top of my notes here, and a blank for me to fill in for myself. To write down or make a note in your mind, what are the areas, or what is the area of my life that I have not yet applied the sufficiency of Scripture? What is the area in my life? What is the greatest area in my life? Or what is an area that maybe through this, the course of this message, that the Lord will impress upon your heart that you have not yet applied the sufficiency of Scripture? And I believe that if we did that on a regular basis, we would be more prepared to face those issues outside of here that come up and face us. If we are dealing with those, working through those things ourselves, so that then when they come up, you know what? The Bible has the answer for that. The Bible has the answer, and I know where to find it. Can I show you? So we can bring hope to those who have no hope, that we can show them the one who said that, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We read this very well-known passage that we most often turn to establish the sufficiency of Scripture. The sufficiency of Scripture is a logical progression that goes from inspiration that God breathed, inerrancy, that there is not one iota of the Scripture will pass away. This is our view of the Scripture. Hopefully this is your view of the Scripture, that it is inspired. It came from God. 2 Peter 1:21, holy men of God spake as they are moved by the Holy Ghost. An inerrancy, that it is perfect, that there is not an error in it. Matthew 5:18, that it has authority, that it has complete authority in my life because it's from God, because it's God breathed, it has authority. And then it is sufficient. The Scriptures are sufficient. And I have a little illustration before I get into the couple points that I have for a message that I hope will help us kind of open this up. This idea of the sufficiency of Scripture. In order to apply Scripture's sufficiency, we must start by understanding the functions of Scripture's sufficiency. In other words, the purpose of Scripture. That's my first point, by the way. The purpose of Scripture. So, Alyssa and I bought this bed, this new bed that required a platform bed, we bought this new mattress that required a platform bed. And we ordered it online and it came in this box. All the pieces, parts. It was not put together. Alright? That would have been very expensive. So it came in this box and we had a fun time together of opening it up and carrying all the pieces up and making sure that it was all there. It was a lot of fun, wasn't it? And making sure that all the pieces were there, but it turned out that that box was sufficient to build that bed. It had instructions in there, it had all the pieces, parts that we needed, and I think we only had a couple pieces left over and nothing fell apart yet, so we're good to go. So it was sufficient to build that platform bed. Now, so if I went to my neighbor and I took this box and before we put it together and I gave him that box and I said, this box is sufficient. And then I came back a week later and my neighbor is all frustrated and they're like, man, that box you gave to me, it is not sufficient. It broke down within 2 days of me putting it together. I'm like, man, let me see it. I mean, how bad? Are you serious? And we put one together and everything came in there. It was perfect, exactly how it's supposed to be. And they're like, yeah, that tree fort, it just fell apart within 2 days. I'm like, what tree fort? That was supposed to be a bed. And they're like, no, I use it to build a tree fort. Well, no, that's not its purpose. You're supposed to build a bed out of that. Okay, you see, when we talk about the sufficiency of Scripture, I need to first instruct somebody about, I need to make sure they understand the purpose of this box. So if somebody comes to me and says, you know, my life is, man, my life is just a wreck. I'm never happy. I need to know how I can be happy. Well, I need to tell them that, well, before you can know how to be happy, the purpose of this book tells me that you need to know the Savior, Jesus Christ, and I can lead them to the purpose, the reason why God gave me this book. Why do secular psychologists give up on Scripture? Because they tried to take this box, this sufficient Scriptures that God gave us, and they use it for a purpose that it was not intended. Yes, the Scriptures talk about how we can be happy. Yes, the Scriptures talk about all these applications of our life. But if they're missing the purpose of Scripture, you're going to find yourself frustrated and you're going to find yourself throwing it out saying, it's insufficient. That's what many Christians have done. That's what liberal theology has done. They've thrown it out because it's insufficient, because they're not starting with its purpose. A proper understanding and application of the sufficiency of Scripture, number one, begins with faith-induced knowledge of the purpose of Scripture. So as Paul is instructing Timothy here, look at verse 14 through 15. He says to him, and let's first discuss what it does not say. I like to do that because I think sometimes it helps me open up exactly what the passage does say when we discuss what it is not saying. Verse 14 through 15. He's saying, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child that hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee cure cancer." Is that what Paul is telling him? No. "Which are able to make thee help everybody overcome depression." Is that the purpose of Scripture? Is that what Scripture was given to us for? The function of Scripture? No, he says that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The purpose of Scripture is that it will make you wise unto salvation. It will bring you to the knowledge of the truth. It will bring you to true saving faith. This includes proper application of the truth to any situation. Romans 15:4, "The Scriptures were written for our learning, that we, through patience, might have hope." So Paul, he starts off, "The Scriptures were written so that you might come to a knowledge of salvation, to be wise unto salvation, to a saving knowledge." So if I start with Scripture, that if my presupposition that this is how to make my life successful, it will no longer be sufficient. Does that make sense? If I start with the presupposition that the Bible is for how I can make my life successful, it will no longer be sufficient. I will rely on other things. If I start with the premise that the Scriptures' purpose, if I start with the presupposition that the Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation, it will remain sufficient no matter what problems come my way. Now, does the Bible tell me that I need to be a good steward? Does the Bible teach me about being a good husband and caretaker so that I can have success? Yes, but if I'm not successful, I have not failed. Because that's not the purpose. Number two, a proper understanding and application of the sufficiency of Scripture begins with faith-induced knowledge of the content of Scripture. So number one, you need to start with a faith-induced knowledge of the purpose of Scripture in order to apply sufficiency, in order to know how we can live in the sufficiency of Christ and the sufficiency that God has given to us, and not give in to the lie that Satan has told us that what God has given us is not good or is not good enough. Look at verse 16. This is our sufficiency passage. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I'm going to borrow from, this is from a, his name is Byers. I think it's B-I-E-R-S. I'm not sure if exactly that's how you pronounce it, but number one, it alone is sufficient to reveal to me what is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. The Scripture alone is sufficient to reveal to me what is right. It alone is sufficient to reveal to me what is wrong, for doctrine, for reproof. The Scripture alone is sufficient to reveal to me what is wrong. It alone is sufficient to reveal to me how to fix what is wrong. So we go from reproof to correction. The Scriptures alone are sufficient to be able to teach me how to fix what is wrong. And then finally, instruction in righteousness. The Scripture alone is sufficient to reveal to me how to keep right what is right. The Scriptures alone are sufficient to teach me how to keep right what is right. Instruction in righteousness. So this is the content of Scripture. It's something that we must make our life about. The content of Scripture. And third, proper understanding and application of the sufficiency of Scripture is sustained by faith-induced knowledge of my personally, divinely appointed purpose. In other words, how do I fit into the picture? That the man of God, verse 17, and this is written to Timothy, that the man of God, that you, Timothy, might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If I believe that my purpose in life is to make my parents happy, the Scriptures will be insufficient for that purpose. If I believe that my purpose in life is to make my spouse happy, the Scriptures I will find to be insufficient for how running around and trying to make my spouse happy. If the Bible tells me that the sufficiency of Scripture and the sufficiency of Scripture teaches me that my purpose in life and that my how I fit into the picture here is that my divinely appointed purpose, I'm going to read it, the ESV says it this way, is that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Does pleasing my spouse fall into that? Does pleasing my parents fall into that? Does pleasing my boss fall into that? It falls under that. In other words, he's saying, Timothy, Tim, whatever he called him, the nice leather Bible that you have that I want you to make sure you defend with your life, that you be a good soldier for Jesus Christ, he tells him to be that. That not is defend it with your life because it's complete. It's not there to make sure, I don't want you to make sure that everybody likes you. This is not so that you can have a 10-step program how to build your church from 10 to 10,000 in 10 days. This is about Timothy, you being a man of God equipped to every good work. Can we say of ourselves that we are equipped? Are we equipped? And I have to humbly say no. When those problems are presented to me at work or wherever it is that those, I feel so ill-equipped. And I was listening to my class this afternoon, and the teacher said, in moments like that, you don't open up your Bible with a yawn. You run to the Bible because it is sufficient to answer those needs. Every spiritual need. Any spiritual need. Timothy, these Scriptures are sufficient to equip you for the application of truth, for doctrine. In any and every spiritual need, in all cultures, in any generation, no exception. Paul is saying to Timothy, the box is complete, Timothy. All the tools are there that you need, and not one part is missing. The Puritans probably have some of the best writings on the doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture. Puritan writer William Ames said, "There's no precept of universal truth relevant to living well in domestic economy, morality, political life, or lawmaking, which does not rightly pertain to theology." A commentator on that said this, that every conceivable psychological need could be met and every imaginable psychological problem could be solved through a direct application of biblical truth. But you must start with the right premise, with the right presupposition of Scripture. If we start with the wrong idea of the purpose of Scripture, we will throw up our hands in frustration and say the Bible is insufficient. As Christian psychologists have done. Let me give you some definitions of sufficiency of Scripture. Dr. Greg Mazak, a teacher that I had at Bob Jones University, gave this definition of the sufficiency of Scripture. I find all the resources that I need for my sanctification in my relationship with Jesus Christ and His revelation. I find all the resources that I need for my sanctification in my relationship with Jesus Christ and His revelation. Dr. John MacArthur gives this definition. There is no spiritual need that is not met in Scripture. There is no necessary resource that is not supplied there. No right teaching, reproof, correction, or training with regard to spiritual matters is possible apart from the all-sufficient Word of God. And then my current teacher, Dr. James Newcomer, said this, that God's special revelation speaks sufficiently or completely to any spiritual need in any man or woman, in every generation, no exception. God's special revelation speaks sufficiently or completely to any spiritual need in any man or woman in every generation, no exceptions. The sufficient Scriptures, they reveal our motivations, they reveal our affections, they order our affections. Sadly, many people improperly apply the sufficiency of Scripture, and Bible knowledge is not a proper application of the sufficiency of Scripture. Believing that the Bible is sufficient demands us to apply it to our current spheres of influence. If we neglect applying the sufficiency of Scripture to our current spheres of influence, we are telling the world, we are telling the spheres that we live in, that the Bible is insufficient. That is what we are saying. The Scriptures are sufficient, so therefore I will apply them in only areas that I feel inadequate, is another error in applying sufficiency of Scripture. Let me give you an example here that, you know, someone might think to themselves, I have adequate behaviors and actions in how I approach my relationships. I'm satisfied, I'm comfortable in how I form my relationships with other people. But I often, you know, I'm struggling with bitterness, so I'm going to apply all the Scripture passages about bitterness in my heart, and I'm going to pray as hard as I can that God relieves me of bitterness, and I'm going to put it on my prayer request list that God relieves me of bitterness, but never once seeking to change and to apply the sufficiency of Scripture in how they behave towards those around them. That is a failure to apply the sufficiency of Scriptures. In other words, as long as I'm comfortable, as long as I'm happy with something, as long as I'm okay with how I'm dealing with it, you know, I'm not going to apply the sufficiency of Scripture. We can fervently apply Scripture when it affects my happiness or my comfortableness, but we fall short of applying the sufficiency of Scripture holistically. So I need to apply it in how I relate to those around me and how I feel about those around me. So in conclusion, let me repeat what I said in the beginning. So, you know, how do I do this? What is the sufficiency of Scripture just something that we believe? Is the sufficiency of Scripture just something that we say? Or is the sufficiency of Scripture something that we must apply? I believe it is. It is a beautiful doctrine. It is a necessary doctrine. The Scriptures meet the spiritual needs of every person, of every generation. But if we are not equipping ourselves to meet the spiritual needs of our generation, of our community, of our spheres of influence, then what are we saying about the sufficiency of Scripture? It is a dogma to be agreed with in the mind, but when it comes to my actions, it is irrelevant. No, the Scriptures must be applied. Demands from us that we equip ourselves to be able to meet spiritual needs. So, what does this involve? This involves meditation and illumination by the Holy Spirit. This involves work on our part. This involves work on our part. It is not easy to answer the needs and the problems of our time. It's not easy. There are some difficult, hard things going on out there. There are difficult, hard things going on in here. There are habitual sins that may be going on in this room that for fear of what others may think, we're never exposed or sought for help. But if we can demonstrate that the Scriptures are sufficient to free us from those things, sufficient to answer those needs, sufficient to bring us to the place where we can be truly bringing glory to God. I believe how we apply sufficiency of Scripture is through this art of meditation. 2 Peter 1:5 talks about the knowledge that we have, an intimate knowledge of Christ, that when we, it's an image of the relationship between husband and wife. And when I go and I stand, you know, in Tim Hortons, and there's a slew of choices of donuts and muffins and all these choices that I have from drinks and different things, and I want to bring something home to my wife. If I didn't know her, it would be a tough decision. But I know that if I bring home an apple fritter, it's a winner every time. You see, when we go to work, when we go into society, and there is before us, somebody presents, boom, here's this problem, and there's a slew of choices. You know, do I say nothing? Do I say something? Do I tell them to do this? What do I do? You know, what Scripture do I go to? How do I come strong? Do I come soft? And it's difficult if we've not spent time meditating, if we've not spent time working out and involving ourselves to a knowledge and a deep, intimate knowledge with what God desires. We're going to stand there, I get frustrated like that. And I don't want to be. Meditation and illumination is what is required of us. Illumination is the work that the Holy Spirit does. Meditation, we're required to meditate in order for illumination to take place. And Dr. Berg gives an awesome illustration of this in his book, Change Into His Image. And this is the illustration that building a campfire. I love camping, but building and part of camping, the fun of camping, is building a campfire. And there's an art, you know, any good fire maker will tell you that there's an art to building a campfire. You need dry wood, you need small wood, and then you need bigger wood. But if you're going out there and you're a real woodsman, right? You didn't bring the wood with you, or you know, you're just out there. Like my dad and I, one year we went camping in the wintertime, and we had to go look for the wood. We had to chop down some trees. We had to find dry wood, and it took a lot of hard work of gathering this wood together. And we had to bring it in, and we built it right, and we had to dig a pit, and you know, it took a couple hours really to get enough wood that we could start this fire. That is meditation. That's that hard work of gathering and bringing together. And you know what illumination is? The work of the Holy Spirit that lights the match. that brings it alive, that gives that work life, that time spent in the Word life. That is illumination. That is how we can apply the sufficiency of Scripture. Meditating. So that we can be prepared to answer those questions and to demonstrate that yes, the Bible is sufficient. Yes, it is sufficient. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that if there is, Lord, and I know there is in my life, areas where I have not applied the sufficiency of Scripture, where I have refused to claim the sufficiency of Scripture because of either ignorance or because of rebellion. Lord, help us to be able to apply Scripture sufficiency. Lord, give us the strength to practice meditation. And we praise you for the illumination of the Holy Spirit that brings to life the truths of your Scripture. We pray this in Jesus' name.